I woke up the other day about three o'clock in the morning. I thought, I've
got to preach this, and it has grown even from there. And I wrote it all down that night, and just really feel like I need to give you this second half to the fat servant message, and and hope this will be a blessing and help to you. And I thought about it because we normally would a lot of times have the missionary preach to you, and I really wrestled with that about that. But I think it'll be helpful. Be honest with you, I think it'll be helpful even for him and for all of us that are here. And so, Acts chapter number 13 in your Bibles. I've been preaching this message on the fat servant, and what that is, it breaks down the FAT. And then the word servant. And if you were not here, I'll tell you briefly what it is. And if you were here, you already have this. But FAT, a fat servant, is a faithful servant, faithful to God, faithful to his church, faithful to people, faithful to the calling that he's got, faithful to the people he's working for, the ministry that he's working for, the church he's at. So faithful, available, not too busy for God, teachable, he's always ready to be taught something. And if you're going to be a fat servant, a servant useful for God, you're going to have to be faithful, available. And you can't be busy doing something else. You've got to be available. And you got to be teachable, always teachable, not thinking I've got to a place that I don't need to learn anything new. The word servant breaks down, it's spiritual. A lot of people are spiritually called, but it's not very spiritual. You can get somebody that has a lot of gifts, but if they're not spiritual, they'll use their gift and it'll be all about them. And so the Bible is very clear about that. The E is they must be an example. And Paul told Timothy to be an example to the believer. So you need to be an example to others. You can be a fat servant, then you need to be faithful, but you also need to be an example. The R is for resilient. Because you're going to go through difficulty. So he told Timothy to endure hardness. All these come out of 1 Timothy. The V is for visionary. You've got to have a vision of what you're doing. Paul told Timothy, make full proof of thy ministry. So you've got to be a visionary. You've got to see something about taking whatever ministry, whatever calling you've got, take it to the next level. And then the A is for you have to be apt. And I talked to you about that a little bit, meaning you need to try some things out. You say, well, I think I might be good at being a Sunday school teacher. Well, then try that out. You might try it out and realize, you know, I'm not really that good at being a Sunday school teacher. I'll back up. Maybe I'll try my hand at being a song leader. And you may lead a song and it may be flat and you say, I'm not good at being a song leader. I think I'll try to be a whatever. But you try some things out, apt, just figure out what you are. And then the N for servant was not prideful. You need to be humble. And all those, the apt, not prideful, and team player, all come from Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12 says you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. You may test out what is the will of God for your life. And then the not prideful, the next verse is down in verse number 3, talks about not thinking of yourself more highly than you ought to think. And then the team player, the T, is you're working together in the body of Christ. There's many members, but it's one body, and it goes through the giftings within the body of Christ. That's servant. Now I want to. That's the message from I think a Wednesday ago. This one is the obstacles to a fat servant. Now, Pastor Bishop showed me something today, and I wouldn't put it up on the screen, but I will tell you what it was. He had a very large individual that was looking at a hurdle on a track, and he said that'll be a great slide for you to use for the obstacles of a fat servant. And I told him, no, that's not a good slide. How dare you think like that? Somebody will be offended. Praise God for good associate pastors. Obstacles for a fat servant. All right, let's look at Acts chapter number 13. I'm going to show you something here tonight that I think will be help to you in about this 30 minutes that we've got. Acts chapter 13 and verse 1. It says, now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers as Barnabas and Simeon. That was called Niger. And Lucius of Cyrene, and Manian, which had been brought up with Herod, the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. Now, this first one I want you to get, verse 3, it says, and when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them and they sent them away. The first one I want you to get, the obstacles to a fat servant. I promise you, these are good. I have had problems with every one of these myself. And I promise you there'll be a help to you if you're thinking, I really want to do more for God, or you're surrendering to do more for God. These will be obstacles you'll face. The first one is ambition. Ambition. You say, how'd you get ambition from this one? Well, The reason why I say ambitious is because sometimes we try to move faster than God wants us to move when we're a servant of God. We think, okay, well, God's saved me, God's called me, and so therefore I'm supposed to be at this level. Let me say this, something I just thought about. You realize that sometimes newlywed or young people do the same thing. They get married and they'll see what their parents had. Parents got a brand new car, nice furniture in their house, blah, 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 all the stuff. And they start thinking, well, that's what I've got to have. So they go out and buy and get in debt with a car, go out and buy new furniture, get in debt with the furniture, buy a new living room suit, buy a new dining room suit, buy a new bedroom suit, get in debt. And you think, why are you doing all that? Why don't you take some secondhand stuff? Why don't you buy something off Facebook Marketplace? Well, I've got to have it at this level. It took your mom and dad time to get to that level. It'll take you time to get to that level. Same thing's true when it comes to being a servant of God, is sometimes we try to get faster than God wants us to get. And so let me make a couple of statements. One, timing is important. Timing is important. Waiting for God is not laziness, and waiting for God is not abandonment of effort. Somebody says, well, if I'm not getting after it, then doing something, then I'm being lazy. No, you're not. See, this is what I want you to get a hold of. When he said, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work I've called to do. What's interesting is they were already ministering to the Lord. And when it was the right time, God said, now it's time to separate them for the work. See, what took place was earlier, we just have a few chapters here. We have Acts chapter 9 when Paul is saved. His name is Saul, still there. But Saul is saved and he's told, watch now, he's saved and then he's told, this is what you're going to be doing in life. You're going to be proclaiming my name here and doing this. Well, you would think that that means that I'm right then I should be in Ephesus preaching in Ephesus. No. There was some time between when he was called to when he actually went. You say, well, how long is that time? It's different for each person. And when it's the right time, God will let you know it's the right time. Sometimes we just start going, I got to get going. Whenever I got saved, it was about a year or so later that I felt like God called me to preach. And immediately I started thinking, well, I got a pastor. I got to be trying to make my way to this and to that. And when I was in Georgia trying to go to the Bible Institute there, I was looking for every opportunity. And when I came back here to be the associate pastor in 2007, I thought, I'm ready right now to be the associate pastor. I was not ready. Well, Gary was here during that time. I was not ready. I mean, to be the pastor, not the associate, but to be the pastor. I'm ready. I wasn't ready. It was a whole lot of breaking down and building up that needed to take place. Now, you see, you say, well, then I wait for that day and don't do anything. No, you start working right where you're at, doing all the things you're supposed to do. Immediately, Paul started preaching and doing what he's supposed to do. But what I'm saying to you is when it's time to do the next thing, God will let you know when that time is there. You say, well, I'll just wait. No, get busy. Fat servants get busy. But the thing is, don't get ahead of the timeline of God. Now, the next thing that I want you to see in this thought is this. I've saw this a long time ago in John chapter 2. You're reading through the book of John, the Gospel of John. I want you to see something. In John chapter 2, in the very first few verses there, remember, it's the first miracle they go to Canaan. I'm just going to read one verse to you. So if you went further than you came, I'm just going to read a verse. John 2:3. I'm going to read it to you. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, they have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. I want you to think about that for a minute. What happened was he's there. She says, she knows who Jesus is. She knows who he is. You know what? She's like any good mama. She's saying, now's the opportunity. Go show them who you are. Get it. Come on. Get out there. Go show them. And he's saying, it's not time yet. And this is what I want you to get a hold of. Sometimes you, ambition, sometimes you will feel like, well, I got to do this. I got to knock this guy off and make the this, and I got to do this. And really what you've got to do is get busy serving and let God control the timeline. And here's the thing I want you to get a hold of. Sometimes people around you will start to push you to go too fast. It's time. Go. It's time. Let's go. It's time for you to get out there. The deal is, it's time for you to be on the timetable God wants you to be on. Sometimes ambition, I've got to get there. will drive you to fast. Ambition. When it was time, they ministered, fasted. The Lord said, now it's time to separate. The Lord will make it clear when it's time to separate out and go do what's the next thing to do. The next thing I want you to see in this, in verse number 4, so they sent them away. Verse number 4, so they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Cilicia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogue of the Jews, and they had also John to their minister. So John's with them. And when they had gone through the Isle of Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. But Elymas, the sorcerer, for so is his name in interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Then Saul, who was also called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, O full of subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him in the midst, a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. Now, when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga and Pamphylia, and John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. Now, here's the thing I want you to get, the second one. The first one is our ambition. Got to get going faster than God's going. The second one that will be an obstacle to you being a fat servant is adversity. Adversity. The very first, watch now, right out of the box. God's calling them to do something. God said separate them. The Holy Ghost goes with them. They take off to go do something big for God. What's the very first thing that happens? They run into somebody full of the devil. They run into the devil. And I'm going to tell you, if you, watch now, you listen real close. If you decide to do anything, say, I'm going to do something in ministry. Here we are getting ready to do this Connections affair. And that's why I've really felt heavy about doing this before we even get to that. It's because some of you are going to sign up and say, I want to serve in a bigger way. Now, if you do that, I'm just going to promise you, when you step out to do it, there's going to be some obstacles. There'll be some real obstacles. Let me say a couple things about that. Sometimes adversity is simply a byproduct of living in a fallen world. There's some things that we're just going to face because we're in a fallen world. And you're going to have some obstacles. You're going to have some obstacles to getting there simply because we're in COVID and all this stuff. You say, what's the devil? Well, maybe. I don't know. There's sometimes that great storms came to people, and sometimes it was of the devil, and sometimes it was God. So you tell me which one set this loose. I don't know. One could be trying to hinder. The other one could be trying to chasten. I don't know. I wouldn't try to tell anybody who's behind exactly what's going on, because sometimes you just can't tell. But you know, some things that we're facing, somebody says, man, it sure is a bad weather. That's why some people didn't come today. It must have been the devil. I don't know that. You know what it could be? Just some clouds came over and it rained today. Some things you face that'll be obstacles to you doing something are just obstacles. They're just part of living in a world that's a fallen world that has things in it. And so we're going to find some things that aren't very good. And let me tell you some other things that are some adversity is brought on because you make poor decisions. And he says, well, I'd like to do more. Sometimes the reason why you can't do more right now is because you've made some poor decisions that are now hindering you from doing more. And maybe that'll maybe work its way out, but sometimes we have made some poor decisions that are actually causing us to be hindered a little bit. Proverbs 13:15 says, the way of the transgressor is hard. So sometimes we make it, listen now, sometimes we're making it harder for us to be a fat servant by some of the things we're doing. Adversity. Let me tell you another one. It's right here in the scriptures, is the devil will sometimes be an adversity. In 1 Corinthians 6:8 it says, but I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost, for a great door and effectual is open unto me, and there are many adversaries. Now, let me make a statement to you. Opportunity almost always has some type of opposition. So if you have an opportunity to do something in a bigger way, this market down is always going to be some type of opposition. We talked with the staff the other day. You set all the staff together in a room. We all sat around a table, and I talked about it the other day. Almost everybody in that room has had something major try to attack and stop them from going forward for God. And as soon as you say, there's people sitting in this room now that I've said, you know, I'm thinking about, wouldn't it be good if we started to do this in a different way? And immediately, as soon as they said, yes, let's do that, immediately something happened within the week to try to, man, I don't know if I even want to step into this arena, because when you're doing bigger things, there's bigger targets, it seems like, on you. And so there is going to be that sometimes. So let's say sometimes just the place we live in is the adversity, the world we live in. Sometimes it's brought on by our own poor decisions. Sometimes it's because we're on the right track and the devil's trying to stop us from doing anything for God. I asked a preacher friend of mine, I said, man, we're seeing a lot of issues come up and try to attack the church in this past year to 2 years. And this is what the friend that's been doing this a whole longer than me, he said, I've never seen a church ever in his whole time that he's been doing anything in ministry that's ever built a building that has not gone through great adversity. But here we are building a building. You know what we've got? We've got an opportunity to fill now two buildings up for the Lord. We've got an entire building over there that's nothing but youth ministry. We've taken the old sanctuary and made it into a gym and made it into nothing but children's church over there. We've made the opening bigger so it'll be set up just for Salvation Junction. I mean, we have got everything set up to do it. And I'm telling you, the devil does not want any of those little kids coming in on buses or coming in with parents and getting saved. And so if he can do anything to stop it, he will definitely do that. And you say, well, how is he affecting my life? Why is he affecting my life? Because you are a fat servant. You're faithful. You're available. You're teachable. All those things. You're spiritual and you're an example and you're resilient. You've got a vision. All those things we're talking about, you've got it. And now you're wanting to be here. For goodness sake, you're here on a Wednesday night. There's a target on you. He'll want to stop you from trying to do it. You say, well, then I'll just back out. That's exactly what he wants. You know what you should do? In the power. So we can be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Why else is there adversity? Let me tell you another reason why you have adversity. And this one, I want you to get a hold of this one. Because here's what you're going to say. Well, which one am I in? I don't know. You have to figure that out. Why am I having adversity? You have to figure it out. Let me tell you another one. Sometimes you'll have adversity to make you stronger. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, when Saul was about to go out and fight, I mean, David was about to go out and fight, and King Saul said to him, you're just a youth. This man's been a fighter from his youth. Remember what he said? He said, the servant, he said, me, I used to watch my father's sheep. He said, and while I was doing what my father told me to do to watch the sheep, what happened to him? A lion and a bear came out to attack the sheep. You know what he had to do? He had to defend. He was, watch now, he was right in the middle of his father's will. And something happened to him. Now, if it was me, I'd be like, I'm doing exactly what I'm supposed to be doing. And the lion and the bear, this doesn't make sense to me. At the time that he was fighting a lion and a bear in his life, it didn't make any sense to him. But you know what? When he was about to go out to fight the giant, it probably clicked right then. Now I understand what that was about. That was just, he told him, he said, I slew the lion, the bear, this uncircumcised Philistine will be as one of them. That's what he said. Sometimes you'll go through some adversity, some things in your life just to make you stronger so you're ready to fight against the devil in a bigger way in the future and accomplish greater things for God. So here's what you need to get a hold of about some adversity that you'll have in your life. You need to be strong when the adversity comes. So Proverbs 24:10, it says, if thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. You know, you need to be doing strengthening yourself now so you're ready when adversity comes. Fat servants will face the ambition. They'll also face adversity. The next one I want you to get. Look in Mark chapter 4 very quickly. Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4 and verse number 14. Read this one with me really quickly. We'll look at it. Mark chapter 4 and verse number 14. This is the sower and the seed. You know this story very well. The sower soweth the word. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who, when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness and have no root in themselves, and so endure but a little time. And afterwards, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and this next one, the things that are the stumbling block or the obstacles to a fat servant. The third one is allurements, things that will try to drag you away from the course you're supposed to be on. So the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things entering in choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And so there's some that will have 30, 60, 100-fold type of, just ministry or effectiveness in their life, fruit in their life. And there's some that won't have any fruit. You say, well, I don't have any fruit. I'm a faithful servant. I should have some fruit. There's sometimes that people don't make it to the fruitful thing that God has for their life because they just get sidetracked with all the allurements of life. I remember reading a story one time about a guy that was at a camp meeting or a tent meeting. And after the tent meeting was over, he went down the altar and he prayed, and a preacher came up and talked to him. And afterwards he said, can I help you with anything? He said, I just realized I've really just wasted a lot of my life. And he said, how'd you waste it? He said, when I was younger, the Lord called me into ministry, and I knew that God wanted me to do something in ministry. And he said, and I started trying to get things ready for ministry, and I worked a job. And he said, and what happened to me is I started realizing I was good at making money. But let me make a statement here. There's nothing wrong with somebody making money. Let me realize that's not a problem. Money's not the problem. The problem became in this person's life is he started getting his focus on that and realized, man, look how good I am at doing this, and got his focus off what God wanted. Now, there are some people that you know what God does use you to do? He'll use you in business to make money and provide jobs and to do things for other people. I'm thankful. Every time I see an entrepreneur, I'm thankful because they're creating jobs for somebody. You know what, God doesn't want every person that gets saved to be the pastor, because if all of them are the pastor, we're the people to pastor. Well, he says, well, everybody gets saved, we just want them to be called to preach. You know, some of them are going to work jobs and employ people. Some of them are going to be in business. Some of them are going to be teachers. Some of them are going to be in ministry, in military. Some of them will be in all these different places. You know what you're supposed to do? Be a light wherever you are at and whatever you're doing. Whatever platform God gives you where you're doing something, be a light in that place. So some people are going to do that, but this is what this guy said. This guy said, I know what God asked me to do. I just got sidetracked with something else, and I missed it. I missed it. So sometimes allurements, things will just try to, and I'm going to tell you, I have watched all of these happen to people. I've watched this happen. I watched that one happen. Well, all of these actually have happened to me. But I've watched this allurements thing right when I felt like God, well, first, I got saved, then I felt like God called me to preach, and then I started trying to figure out where to go to Bible school. Out, wrote a few places, tried to get out of the Army, go to Bible college. The Army would not let me out. 9/11, all that stuff happened. They stop-lost me. I had re-enlisted indefinitely, so they wouldn't let me get out. So I was trying to get out, and the way that thing worked was just really crazy. I'll tell you very quickly, I ended up winning a Soldier of the Year or Soldier of whatever competition locally, and like at a small level. Then I won the next level, and then I won the next level, and then it went up to like Washington State, and I came in runner-up at that level. But the person that beat me got disqualified. They found they cheated somehow, so I ended up winning that level, and I went up to another level, and then I ended up going to All Army. And when I had the All Army level for the competition, I came in runner-up behind one other guy. Well, when you win it. You could pick any duty station you want. Well, come in runner-up, I had represented, they felt like I'd represented our command unit so well that the sergeant major that we had said, that's good. Anybody else want to come up and give an offering? This would be a good time to do that. That's great. So the sergeant major said, listen, she did good. Any place you want to get stationed, you can. So I said, listen, they won't let me go in the Army and go to Bible school anywhere. there's a Bible Institute, this place where the guy led me, the Lord send me there to Atlanta. They sent me to that duty station. I ended up going to that place there. And while I was there, and my Bible sitting on my desk, a colonel came through to do an inspection, saw my Bible on my desk while he was doing the inspection, shut the door, left the entourage in the hallway, sat down across from my desk, had me sit down and said, "What are you doing with the Bible on your desk?" And I said, "Well, I read it, and if I get a chance, I witness people." He said, "What kind of Bible is it?" And I said, "It's a King James Bible." And he says, "Do you believe it's the Word of God?" I said, "Yes." And he said, "I'm a deacon at an independent Baptist church in Columbus, Georgia. Tell me about your life." And I thought, this is crazy. The whole rest of the group are outside in the hallway, just standing there. And so I told him, I was in a Bible Institute, and I was wanting to get out and go to Bible college. And so he left. He called me back a couple of days later. Colonels don't normally call E6s, but he called me and he said, "Hey, you're supposed to be on orders to go to, I don't know where it was, Iraq, Afghanistan, whatever." He said, "I just took you off orders. I'm going to try to work on getting you out." And within a couple of months, actually, he worked on getting me out. Here's what happened in the meantime. I got promoted, and I tried to turn it down, and they lost the paperwork, so they promoted me. So they showed up and pinned me with E7. I'm thinking, well, that's more pay, and this is a greater position. Then they put me on orders to go to Alaska. We went to Hawaii. That was a great duty station. But then we always wanted to go to Alaska, because everybody we ever knew that went to Alaska said, "We're going to retire there." And I thought, they told me about fish that you can catch there that you can tie it to the top of your car. It's so big. I'm thinking, that's exactly what I want. So I thought, this is a great place to go. I'm looking forward to go to Alaska. I got orders for Alaska, got promoted, and was going to get a cush job in Alaska. All those things happened right before. I had to turn every bit of that down. All those allurements were there, and if I would have bought into all of those, I would have missed out on what God was wanting to do in my life. There's always going to be that. There's always going to be that. Look at Luke chapter 17. Just very quickly. I'll try to give you these, and I'll try to do this very quick. There's only two more, and this one is pretty, well, the last two are pretty simple. Luke chapter 17, in verse number 7. Luke chapter 17, verse number 7. These will be things that will try to stop you from being a faithful servant. Verse number 7, Luke 17, it says this: "But which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by, when he has come from the field, 'Go and sit down to meat'? And will not rather say unto him, 'Make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself, and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterwards thou shalt eat and drink'? Doth he thank," not think, but thank, "doth he thank the servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I trow not. So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, 'We are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do.'" Now, just to recap, this is what you've got. You've got ambition. I'm going to go faster than what God wants me to go. You've got adversity. You're going to hit a wall every once in a while. You have allurements. Shiny things try to get you off track. This one is, you have an attitude sometimes. An attitude sometimes is, "How come more people are not patting me on the back? Look at all I do." And what he just said about this is, the master doesn't give you thanks for just doing what you are supposed to do. Well, he says, "Well, look what I do." Yeah, but it's your reasonable service. I'm giving myself a living sacrifice, and I'm making myself holy and acceptable unto God, and I'm transforming my mind. I'm in the Bible and so I'm transforming my mind, and I'm not thinking of myself more highly. I'm humbling myself, and I'm using my spiritual gift. This is all Romans chapter 12. Shouldn't somebody be patting me on the back at some point? No, that's just a reasonable service. The thing that will trip you up, I promise you, this will trip all of us up if we're not careful, as we're trying to be the fat servant, is we start thinking of ourselves like, you know, I should be getting a whole lot more recognition than I'm getting. If you get recognition, praise the Lord. But if you're not getting recognition, just think of yourself as, well, listen, I'm doing what's reasonable. Let me tell you, if you start thinking, is it really reasonable compared to somebody else? Don't compare it to somebody else. Compare it to what your Lord did for you. We've come way short of that. All right, the next one is this. It's in Judges 18:19. This is a poor example of this, but this is what was on my mind when I put it together. It's not on your attitude, but the next one is somebody will try to acquire you. And this is a good one. All right, let me think about this for a minute. If you will do something good for God, listen, if you become a fat servant, like you are knocking it out of the park as a servant of God, there's always somebody down the street that'll say, "Now, if you ever get tired of being over there, please come over here." Because everybody wants to buy the strong ox. And if you're doing something great, somebody else, I promise you'll try to snatch you up. When I used to go, there's a spot in Judges 18, 19. You can write it down and look at it later. Judges chapter 18 and verse 19. And they come to this priest, and some group of men come to the priest. And this is all a messed up situation, but I want you to hear what it says. And they said unto him, "Hold thy peace, lay thy hand upon thy mouth, and go with us, and be to us a father and a priest. It is better for thee to be a priest unto the house of one man, or to be thou a priest unto a tribe and a family in Israel." And the priest's heart was glad, and he took the ephod and the teraphim and graven image and went in the midst of the people. So what they're basically saying is this: you know what? You can do more over here. You've got a bigger ministry over here, and we'll take care of you better than they do over there. I want you to listen. If you would be doing something big, there'll always be somebody saying, "You know, you're just part of that ministry there, but you know what? You can come over here and do greater things with us." They will do that, I promise you. We used to go to, I was on staff in Georgia. I was a youth pastor and I was a school principal, and I was doing a lot of stuff. And we didn't make much money at all. I think Stacy was making $400 a month as a degreed math teacher teaching in the Bible and at school. And I was the school principal, and I was making $2,000 a month. And when we couldn't make payroll for somebody else, it came out of my pay to make sure they got paid. We weren't making much money at all. And I would go and preach at a youth conference, and I preached at a friend of ours youth conference. And he said, "Hey, when your pastor calls, Brother Eddie calls in a little while, so what I want you to do is tell him that I offered you a job making more money over here." And it was a lie, and we shouldn't have done it. Bad preachers, but I did it. And when he called, I told him, I said, "Hey, they offered me a job over here making twice as much money." And he said, he got so mad, chewed me out on the phone, then wanted to talk to him. And I was trying to cut him off and say, it was just a joke. But you know what the truth is? That will happen. Somebody will see that you're doing a great job and try to get you from where you're at to come do something different. You just got to keep focused on what God wants you to do. And the last two things I'll just say is this, because I don't have time to do it, but I really will maybe spend more time later, is there's two things that will happen to the leader of a fat servant. And one of them is envy. If this can happen, it hasn't happened to me yet. It could happen to a leader. And I say yet because it can happen to anybody if you're not careful. Because you've got somebody, these guys do a great job of being associate pastors in this church. I mean, they do a fantastic job. Things that I couldn't do, they do. And if it was left to just me doing it, things would not get done. They do a fantastic job. And you know what could happen? Some of you can start going to them for your issues. And some of you will go to them that used to come to me. And I could say, "Wait a minute, I'm the pastor here. How come you go to them with your problems and talk to them? Surely they can't be giving you better counsel than I can give you." Or I could be on vacation and they could be preaching and somebody could come up and say, "You know what? I just wanted you to know, I enjoy your preaching so much better than I enjoy anybody else's." Now, you wouldn't do that, I know. You know, that can happen. And if you're an insecure leader, you know what you'll do? You'll become really irritated with that servant and be looking for that servant to get out of here. Because you're insecure. I promise you, that's not part of me. I've told him, I said, "I'm glad people are going to you." I'm glad they are. And I'm glad these guys are doing great because listen, you know how the body works? Any success that a member of the body gets, the whole body gets that success. Sometimes we forget that. They gave Jesus up, the Bible says, for envy. Joseph's brothers sold him because of envy. And the last one is neglect. And I would just say this, and this is one of the things I think God kind of woke me up at 3 o'clock in the morning to think about, is I think a lot about Luke chapter 15. I love Luke chapter 15. I was going to go there and show you a few verses. But remember, there's three things that take place in Luke chapter 15. There is a lost sheep. Remember? It's a lost sheep. 99. There's 100 sheep. He leaves the 99 for the one. Lost sheep. There was a lost silver. Remember, they had 10 pieces. She had 9. And the lady was looking for, you know, it didn't say she was looking under the couch, but I always, in my mind, imagine somebody picking up the couch and looking with a flashlight trying to find it. So she's looking for the one piece of silver. And then there's the two sons, and one's gone and the other. And so he's looking for the one son. Now, you remember what happened with the older son? He said, "Why are you making such a fuss over the backslidden son? You never did that for me." And so the other thing that can happen to a leader, and I want you to get this, I think this has happened to me some, for some of you fat servants, is this. You can begin to neglect the good one while you're looking for the bad one. What you can begin to do is the 99 sheep are saying, hey, we have never took off. We've never jumped the fence. We've always been right here. And you always spend your time chasing that one dumb sheep that keeps running off. You keep chasing that one. And look, we're right here. We hadn't moved an inch. We're the good ones. Are they kind of right? They may feel that way. You know what? The 9 coins in the pocket, the lady could have been screaming, hey, listen, you got 90 cents here. Why are you picking up the couch looking for the dime? Why don't you just stick with it? And the older brother said, listen, I have been here the whole time. I have been faithful. And you know what you did? You stood there on the front porch staring out there looking for that one. And I've been here doing everything. Let me tell you maybe that fits more in an obstacle of a fat servant, but I'm going to tell you, that's something I woke up at 3 o'clock in the morning thinking about the other day. I thought, you know what? The past couple of years, we've been under a lot of attack, and what I have done is try to put fires out everywhere, just trying to pick up this and carry that and do this. And these leaders have been doing the same thing. And I've been trying to pick up everything, get it all going with people. And if somebody's not here, trying to check on them. And what it's been at the expense of, for some people, and I've talked to some of you, and you're like, no. But for some people, it's been this, is that I haven't been as much involved in you while I'm trying to be involved in all those issues and counsel this and deal with that. And so that happens sometimes to a leader. And what a faithful servant can do is sometimes feel a little bit neglected. And so I'm sorry that that's been the case for some of you. That's what I woke up thinking about the other day. I thought, you know, I'll try to do better in the future to try to be there more for core people and not get so distracted but looking for the, I'm still going to go chase down the one, but I'm going to try to be here more for the 99 that are there as well. All right. So those are some things to kind of think about. Those are things, this is more of a leadership type deal for a lot of you. Some of you watching, try to help you just think the way you're supposed to think about some things when it comes to doing more for God in the future. Let's stand. Lord God, thank you for the service tonight. Thank you for a brother that came and presented his heart and his labor for Ireland. I do pray you get him there quickly and you'd bless his ministry, him and his wife both, and you'd please help him. Lord, I pray that you'd open doors as they try to go. I pray that they would be on your timeline. You'd please keep them safe as they're trying to do it. Lord, I pray for our people that are here that are faithful and they're wanting to serve and they're in this place and they're trying to do their very best. And many of them just given their whole lives to you, Lord. And I pray that all these things we just talked about, they'd take it to heart and they'd listen to it and they'd apply it. Lord, I thank you for your word that's truth, that we can trust it and we can depend on it. Lord, I pray you'd bless tonight in a special way in Jesus' name. Amen. She's going to play and give you just a chance to pray just for a minute. We're going to also put offering plates in the back on the other side of the chairs there, somewhere in the back. And